Up WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. People along Florida's west coast are busy getting ready for Hurricane Idalia. The system picked up strength as it entered the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico today. Forecasters warning of life-threatening conditions when it makes landfall tomorrow. Correspondent Omar Villafranca is in Tampa.
Cases of bottled water were scarce as people like Miranda Connolly and her two young children stocked up on the basics.
Going to prepare the exterior of the house, and we're just going to make sure we have our food and water.
21 counties along Florida's Gulf Coast are currently under some type of evacuation order as Idalia threatens to bring up to 12 feet of storm surge to some areas and the potential for at least 111 mile per hour sustained winds.
Prescription costs for people on Medicare could be going down. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The popular diabetes treatment Jardiance and the blood thinner Eliquis are among the first drugs that will be targeted for price negotiations in an effort to cut Medicare costs. President Joe Biden's administration has released a list of 10 drugs for which the federal government will take a first ever step, negotiating drug prices directly with the manufacturers.
Lawsuit settled over claims by veterans 3M failed to protect their ears. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
The settlement is worth $6 billion. It resolved a lawsuit brought by hundreds of thousands of veterans who said the company's earplugs failed to protect them from hearing loss during their service. It could be the largest such settlement in U.S. history. The U.S. military purchased the earplugs, but veterans in this case said they were faulty and caused them to develop hearing loss or ringing and buzzing in the ears.
Police in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, say they're still searching for the weapon and a motive in yesterday's shooting at UNC that killed a faculty member. They say it appears to have been targeted. A suspect is in custody. Spain is now facing a Me Too movement of its own over a top soccer official, Luis Rubiales, who kissed a player on the lips during the women's soccer championship ceremony. Correspondent Charlie Daggett.
Rubiales was expected to resign last week. Instead, the Spanish football president doubled down,
no voy a dimitir,
shouting
no voy
repeatedly,
a dimitir.
I will not no, resign. Female members of the coaching staff said no they were forced to sit in the front row. The entire staff no has since resigned.
A shot of classical music, maybe just what the doctor ordered for babies who need injections. A study from Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Pennsylvania shows newborns listening to a Mozart lullaby suffered less pain during heel pricks. S&P futures down 3. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Tamara.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A new proposed bill in Wisconsin would require certain buildings to have at least one universal adult-sized changing station in its restrooms. Introduced by State Senator Jeff Smith, the bill is aimed at helping people with disabilities who need a safe, clean place to change. The bill would only impact new buildings that see a large number of visitors built after next July, and small businesses would receive a tax credit for installing the adult changing tables. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler is accusing new alleged state courts director Audrey Skierowski of illegally approving assignments of reserve judges in her name. According to a report by Wisconsin Right Now, Chief Justice Ziegler sent an email stating, "It has come to my attention that you have been signing my reserve judge orders without my knowledge or approval." Chief Justice Ziegler also said she is posting the state's courts director position for a national search. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Mary Bond.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
1, 2, 3, 5!
Everybody sing along. It's the Beatles for you on a Tuesday morning. And it was on this date, August 29th of 1966, that the Beatles played their last concert in front of a paid audience. That was at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. And they called it quits early on the live stuff, 1966. And, of course, one of the reasons they said they had had enough of doing live shows is bad sound systems, which were the norm at the time. Concerts, big concerts, were still pretty new, so they were just figuring things out. But also, all the girls screaming just nonstop. They couldn't hear themselves with the sound systems that they had at the time. And so they said, let's just call it quits. But I was just talking to my producer, Aaron, kind of just wondering out loud what would have happened if they would have continued to do live shows. You know, if they would have just waited another year or so until their music changed and music in general changed after the release of Sgt. Pepper. And I bet things would have changed. You know, I mean, by 1968 and 69, there were other bands that were popular with the teenagers of the early and mid-60s. That didn't have to put up with all the screaming and stuff like that anymore. And by the late 60s, PA systems were improved drastically. So who knows how things could have been, but we know how things were. 1966, this date, August 29th, Beatles performed their last concert in front of a paying crowd. Obviously, they did the rooftop thing a few years later on top of the Apple Studios. And I think they did a couple of TV things as well. But as far as being able to buy a concert ticket and go see the Beatles, that was it. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And updated temperatures, 69 degrees right now in Richland Center and 64 degrees in Amory. And if you have a comment concerning anything we're discussing this morning, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And One of the stories we discussed a few days ago was the fact that Foxconn is changing the way they view Wisconsin. Evidently, remember, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever, they were saying they were completely committed to making Wisconsin a manufacturing hub for high tech, whatever it is they build, screens, phones, computers, Foxconn. And now there's a new story from The Verge I'm looking at here. It says Foxconn puts its empty buildings in Wisconsin up for sale. And the company insisted to reporters, oh, the buildings are not empty. What difference does it make? You know, if there are some tenants in the buildings, obviously their commitment to Wisconsin has changed. This is from TheVerge.com, and this was posted yesterday afternoon by Nilay Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge, and it says here, hey, remember when Foxconn bought a bunch of buildings around Wisconsin just before an election and said it was building innovation centers around the state in a transparent attempt to build support for the giant tax credits it was given to build an LCD factory that never arrived? Yeah, well, it's selling two of those buildings. The news was first reported by Wisconsin Public Radio, which got a quote from Foxconn saying that, quote, selling its Green Bay property known as the Watermark Building will add to the vibrancy of the city's downtown, end quote. Very good. You might recall two of these buildings in Eau Claire and Green Bay because The Verge's Josh Ziza went and looked in the windows months after they were purchased and noticed they were empty. This groundbreaking reporting prompted Foxconn's Alan Jung to say that the buildings were not empty at an event celebrating the purchase of yet another building in Madison. That building has never been occupied by Foxconn, and two of its floors are now for lease, as reported by the Wisconsin State Journal. And here's a quote. I can assure you that they are not empty, Jung said at the time. We do have a plan, and we actually will make sure the building is adequate and well-equipped before we move people in. So you will see a lot more coming in the next months, the next year or so, he added. I can assure you it will not be empty, and they're not empty right now, he said. Anyway, we checked in again a year later, and the buildings were still empty. Foxconn never built an LCD factory or created 13,000 jobs in southeastern Wisconsin, even after getting a sweetheart tax deal from the state and local government and a groundbreaking ceremony featuring then-President Donald Trump wielding a golden shovel. The project has since been scaled down to just 1,454 jobs from 13,000, and a series of announcements about building energy products. But there was a massive water and power build-out on the site, which led to Microsoft's decision to purchase some of the land for $50 million and put a data center there, which will create just a few hundred jobs. So that's what's going on. Latest update to the Foxconn saga, which has been ongoing for several years in Wisconsin now. Said they were going to make a big investment in Wisconsin, but it hasn't materialized. And the one thing we have to remember is the fact that over 100 families were displaced from their families, houses, homes, farms in that area, told they have to move to somewhere else. And now there's not even much there. Down there at Mount Pleasant, where they were supposed to build the big Foxconn factory. A couple other stories I want to get to while we have some time here is another story we discussed a few days ago about the village of Boaz in Richland County, making, I guess you could say, an historical move forward into the future. There's a headline here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says, the village of Boaz in Richland County has a history of blackouts. Now, a new microgrid aims to change that. says the days of watching the sky and wondering if the next storm will bring yet another blackout are coming to an end in this tiny village in southwestern Wisconsin. For years, the Richland County community of 129 has dealt with more than its share of power outages. The culprit has always been known, an aging 15-mile-long power line that is the village's sole source of electricity. Most electric customers are on a loop that provides some protective redundancy, but not so in Boaz. When that line goes down, lights go out. Tucked into a valley surrounded by rolling hills about an hour's drive northwest of the confluence of the Wisconsin and Mississippi rivers, the village's size and remote location has meant residents often waited longer than others for power to be restored. Last week, residents and Alliant Energy employees gathered a little more than a mile outside of Boaz to celebrate completion of a new $3.5 million microgrid, a bank of batteries that can store enough energy to power the entire town and release it via an underground cable within seconds of a power interruption. That's kind of like having a generator at your home. When the lights go out, the generator kicks in, and this sounds like a similar thing, only on a much larger scale. It says here the 400 kilowatt battery system is built to power all of Boaz for 8 hours of peak demand, like a 90-degree day after a summer storm. If residents help by managing their use, it could power the village through a much longer outage. That's a big deal in a community where a loss of power shuts down the village's sewer system, residents' private wells stop working, furnaces won't light, and elderly residents lose use of their CPAP machines and other medical devices, said Gene Nix, the village president. When a winter outage lasted almost a full day, the village took its most vulnerable residents to Dayton Township, another small community, about a 15-minute drive west because there were no in-town options for keeping them warm, she said. It's reassuring that we're never going to be out of power, Nix said. You know, in this day and age, how many blackouts you see in big cities? Well, I know we're not a big city, but it's the same thought process. We don't want to be out of power, end quote. Microgrids have been built in Wisconsin to power businesses, government buildings, and community centers, but Boaz's is the first in the state that's built to fully power a community, Alliant officials said. Before building it, the utility considered 20 other locations, taking into consideration how those communities are connected to the electric grid, frequency of power outages, their duration, how many customers were affected. So that sounds like good news for that town, for Boaz, and possibly for other towns. I'm sure if that works out well, that will be expanded, and eventually possibly whole cities will get their own off-grid or separate from the grid power systems. Got to take a quick break. It'll be a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Mom, did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires out there this afternoon. Our high 75, the wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 50. Tomorrow, just like today, sunny 75. Then on Thursday, sunshine with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Great music for you. Some jazz on a Tuesday morning from Charlie Parker, who was actually born on this date, August 29th in 1920. He only lived until 1955, but I think without a doubt, one of the most important figures in jazz music, and I would say that most people won't even argue that, right? He's right up there at the very top among most important names in American jazz. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 23 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And we've got 67 degrees in Eau Claire. And it is 62 degrees in Hayward right now. Hope you're having a good morning so far. If you have any comments on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And I want to draw your attention to a scientific thing that's coming up. Mark your calendar. It's tomorrow night. It says here in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the brightest supermoon of 2023 will be visible in Wisconsin on Wednesday night. And this was posted yesterday at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says the third and brightest supermoon of the year will rise over Wisconsin on Wednesday night. There have been two supermoons so far in 2023, and the third should offer one of the best views, as it will appear larger and brighter than a normal full moon. So here's what you need to know about the August 30th supermoon. A supermoon occurs when the moon's orbit is closest to Earth at the same time the moon is full, according to NASA. The result is some of the best moon viewing. This specific supermoon will be the brightest of the year due to how close it is to Earth. There are usually three or four supermoons each year, NASA says. They always appear consecutively as well, which is why we've seen supermoons in July, earlier in August, and we'll see one again in September. The moon orbits the Earth in an ovular shape called an ellipse, meaning sometimes the moon is closer, sometimes the moon is farther away from Earth. The farthest point on the ellipse, called the apogee, is about 253,000 miles from Earth on average. Meanwhile, the closest point on the ellipse, which is the perigee, is an average distance of about 226,000 miles from Earth. So just to illustrate that point, 226,000 miles when it's the closest, but 253,000 miles when it's the furthest. This piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel goes on and says, a perigean full moon appears slightly larger and brighter than a typical or apogean full moon. According to NASA, the closest perigean full moon appears about 17% bigger, 30% brighter than the farthest apogean moon. So what's a blue moon? Yeah, you probably know, right? You know the phrase once in a blue moon. Well, it comes from this lunar event. A blue moon occurs when there are two full moons in the same calendar month, according to NASA. While full moons occur about every 29.5 days, it is rare to have a full moon occur twice in a month. It's been 2 years since the last blue moon, August of 2021. The next one won't happen until May of 2026. So will the moon actually be blue? You probably know the answer is no. It's just a term given to the occurrence of two moons in a single month. And so when is the best time to view the moon? The best time to view a supermoon or any full moon is at moonrise or at moonset, when the moon is closest to the horizon. It's also helpful to view from a location with minimal light pollution. Moonrise on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, is predicted to be around 7:45 p.m. Moonset on Thursday morning is predicted to be 6:45 a.m. So will there be another supermoon in 2023? Yes, according to space.com, there will be one more supermoon on September 28th, and that will be a full corn moon. Mark your calendars. 9:28 right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Idalia powered up to a hurricane over the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico this morning, and it's heading straight for Florida's west coast. Forecasters say it could have sustained winds of up to 120 miles an hour when it makes landfall. Governor DeSantis.
You still have time this morning to be able to make your final preparations. If you are in one of those areas that's in line for some of the major storm surge and you're told to evacuate, you know, you have time to do that.
The Biden administration's ready to bargain with drug companies. CBS CBS's Anne-Marie Green.
The Biden administration has named the first 10 drugs that will be subject to new price negotiations with Medicare. The drugs on the list are commonly used to treat blood clots, diabetes, heart failure, and arthritis.
3M will pay $6 billion to settle hundreds of thousands of claims brought by veterans who claim the company's earplugs failed to protect them from hearing loss while they were serving. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Foxconn is selling off two of its large facilities in Wisconsin after years of neglected promises to bring thousands of jobs to Eau Claire and Green Bay. The company said it was building innovation centers around Wisconsin, including an LCD factory that never actually happened. Now those two buildings are being sold off along with any hope of a Foxconn employment boom. Foxconn paid nearly $12 million to purchase both properties and promised to bring 13,000 high-tech jobs to Wisconsin. Wisconsin crime labs are still experiencing a backlog of evidence and court cases because of COVID-19. Funds that were originally intended to help outsource testing has now been reallocated to the Office of School Safety, and finding private labs to help with the work has proven difficult. The pandemic and court backlogs both play a part in these crime lab delays, but Wisconsin is still doing better with delays than other states, even without the added funding. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Down again.
slow down, you never grow old. I'm tired of screwing up, I'm tired of going down, I'm tired of myself, I'm tired of this town. Oh my, my, oh hell yes. Honey, put on that party dress. Buy me a drink, sing me a song. Take me as I come, cause I can't stay long.
Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain. I feel summer creeping in and I'm tired of this town again.
She's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. The nightfall will be coming soon. Oh my, my, oh hell yes. You got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road.
Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain. Feel summer creeping in and I'm tired of this town again.
Yes, great example of Tom Petty's songwriting skills. Man, that guy was a great songwriter. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Last Dance with Mary Jane on Tuesday morning. We have 74 degrees in La Crosse right now and 72 degrees in Richland Center. Hope you're having a good day. And if you want to give us a call, feel free. Phone number is 715-388-7155. I would be interested to hear what you have to say on any of the topics that we are discussing today. And also, if you want to, you can send me an email message. My email address is stewmanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. And we have some breaking news here from Rolling Stone. And this was just posted. It says Chinese intelligence officers interfered in United States election. Subheadline says, an influence operation spread propaganda about Hong Kong's democracy movement, COVID-19's origins, and the U.S. midterm elections. And I'm going to give you a little bit of this story that was just posted at rollingstone.com. Says China is behind the largest known covert propaganda operation ever identified on Facebook and Instagram, according to a new report by security researchers at Meta. Meta on Tuesday, that's today, outed the authors of a four-year-long influence campaign dubbed Spamouflage Dragon, which first appeared in 2019 to spread propaganda about Hong Kong's pro-democracy protests. Since then, the campaign has focused on spreading disinformation about the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, attacking dissidents and critics abroad, criticizing the United States, and attempting to sow division during the 2022 midterm elections. For years, researchers have speculated that the voluminous Spamouflage Dragon posts were connected to the Chinese government, but have been unable to publicly prove a link until now. The link comes courtesy of overlapping content found in both Meta's report and charges filed against Chinese intelligence operatives back in the spring. It says federal prosecutors accused dozens of Chinese Ministry of Public Security officials of being behind a covert social media propaganda campaign in a criminal complaint filed in April. Some of the same propaganda content cited by U.S. prosecutors in that complaint also appears in Meta's report published on Tuesday, today, indicating that the Ministry of Public Security is the law enforcement agency Meta believes is behind Spamouflage Dragon. Quote, "We can confirm that the social media activity described in the complaint is part of the Spamouflage operation we described in our report," a Meta spokesperson tells Rolling Stone. In April, the Justice Department indicted 34 Chinese intelligence officers with the MPS on charges of conspiracy to transmit interstate threats and conspiracy to commit interstate harassment in connection with an attempt to intimidate Chinese exiles in the U.S. The operatives were part of the MPS's 912 Special Project Working Group. According to the indictment, Chinese officials have charged the group with creating and using a host of accounts under false names on U.S. social media platforms to disseminate and amplify messages as part of a broad effort to influence and shape public perceptions of the PRC government, the CCP, and its leaders in the United States and around the world, end quote. Spamouflage Dragon operators haven't meddled as aggressively in U.S. elections as other actors, like Russia's Internet Research Agency, but the troll network has begun to push narratives tied to the 2022 midterms. Shortly before that election, cybersecurity researchers at Google and Mandiant found Spamouflage Dragon accounts that criticized American elections and democracy in general and urged readers not to vote. In one video posted by the trolls, narrators urged viewers not to vote for someone and showed footage of January 6th rioters while claiming that, quote, "The solution is to root out this ineffective and incapacitated system," end quote. As part of that campaign, Meta researchers recently discovered a portion of Spamouflage Dragon activity that was run by geographically dispersed operators across China who appear to have been centrally provisioned with internet access and content directions, according to the report released today. Once you put everything together from 2019 until now, it is the largest known covert influence operation, Meta's global threat intelligence lead, Ben Nimmo, says in an interview. Spamouflage Dragon's overwhelming scale, however, has failed to translate into any tangible influence or audience, likely because the network is focused on putting volume over audience building, according to Nimmo. The trolls have demonstrated a weak command of idiomatic English with articles that, while prolific, often misspell key names or use English and Mandarin interchangeably. Other posts, like a critique of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's August 2022 trip to Taiwan, appear long after the events they purported to preview. At other times, the spammers attempted to push niche and esoteric Chinese propaganda talking points onto unreceptive audiences by piggybacking on clickable, search engine-optimized headlines. In one case, cited by Meta researchers, Spamouflage Dragon trolls filled the replies of social media forum questions like, "How do I lose belly fat through weightlifting?" with propaganda articles about Chinese police strengthening international law enforcement cooperation. Campaign's lack of any audience development, despite years of operation, dozens of personnel behind it, and thousands of pieces of content, leads some to wonder why China even bothers with the trolling effort. Quote, "It always comes back down to this question," Nimmo says, "of who's kidding whom here. To what extent are Spamouflage Dragon targeting foreign audiences? And to what extent are they targeting the people who might be paying them to make them think that they're reaching foreign audiences?" So new information coming out about the effort by Chinese intelligence officers to interfere in U.S. elections. although kind of haphazardly, it sounds like. But that's the latest information for you. We've got 9:44 right now. And before we go to our next break, I want to give you a little bit of a story that is that was just posted at USA Today. It's about something that we should definitely be talking about. It's about hate crimes. Hate crimes in big cities. The headline says, hate crimes in big cities hit record high for second year in a row, new data shows. This piece was posted 3 hours ago by Will Carlos at USA Today. And, of course, it talks about the events in Jacksonville over the weekend. It says here that the man who opened fire in a Dollar Tree supermarket in Jacksonville, Florida, on Saturday, targeted black people because of their race, local police said. Using a rifle with a swastika drawn on it, he killed three people, deliberately targeting black patrons, according to local authorities. Quote, he hated blacks, and I think he hated just about everyone that wasn't white. Jacksonville Sheriff T.K. Waters told CNN he made that very clear. The events that unfolded in Jacksonville were tragic, but hardly unique. In recent years, other racist shootings left people dead in Allen and El Paso, Texas, and in Buffalo, New York. Hate crimes also expand far beyond those headlines. A leading group of experts in a new study provided exclusively to USA Today has found the number of hate crimes reported to police in 42 major U.S. cities rose 10% last year from the year before. And in just the country's largest 10 cities, the number of reported hate crimes rose even more, 22% from 2021 to 2022, making last year the second consecutive year they hit a new record high. What constitutes a hate crime varies by locale. It includes murder, but also offenses such as assault and stalking. In general, a hate crime is determined by the way a perpetrator targets a specific kind of victim. Last year, as has been the case every year since the count began, most hate crime victims were black, according to the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University San Bernardino, which collects and analyzes official state and municipal hate crime data sets. Got to take a break. It's a quick one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires out there this afternoon. Our high 75. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 50. Tomorrow, just like today, sunny 75. Then on Thursday, sunshine with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Main ingredient, happiness is just round the bend. Man, what a great song. We've got 9:53 right now, almost 9:54. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show, and I have updates on temperatures: 74 degrees in La Crosse, 72 degrees in Richland Center, 66 in Amory, and 67 in Eau Claire. And speaking of happiness, came across a story at Positive News. It's positive.news with a headline that says, "I've spent years studying happiness. Here's what actually makes for a happier life." Years of academic research on the subject left Christopher Boyce unsure how to be happy himself. A bike ride to Bhutan changed that. It says, "It's one thing to know what makes people happy, but quite another to live a happy life one's self. I didn't get a true taste of happiness until I quit my decade-long career as a happiness academic, packed all I'd need for many months onto a bicycle, and began meandering my way around the world to Bhutan. For those unfamiliar with Bhutan, it's a small Himalayan kingdom famed for basing all its national policy decisions on happiness. Quite the destination, quite the journey. And I would learn more about happiness than I did as an academic. That's not to dismiss knowledge acquired through books and letters, but there's a lot to be said for actually getting direct experience in life. And here are some of the things I learned along the way. For sustained happiness, go deep. When people talk about happiness, some dismiss it as a viable societal goal because happiness policy can be misconstrued as being about people smiling and laughing all the time. Yet, pleasant as smiling and laughing are, doing them all the time is neither realistic nor desirable. Difficult emotions are a natural part of life. These days, I love a cry. It's an important release. An anxiety, which I'm prone to, is something I'll be open and curious about rather than hide from. The kind of happiness I value is deeper, grounded in connection, purpose, and hope, yet has room for sadness and anxiety too. Indeed, it's this kind of happiness that a country like Bhutan aspires to, and I think more countries and more people should too. So have goals, but prepare to let them go. Goals can be helpful. They give direction in our day-to-day lives, but it's easy to get wrapped up in attaining an outcome, believing our happiness depends on it. Rather than being in what psychologists call flow, an immersive in-the-moment state of being, we might doggedly push on towards a goal, even though achieving our goals won't always bring us happiness. When I was cycling to Bhutan, I let go of the idea of ever reaching Bhutan many times. And through doing so, I ensured my journey remained purposeful and enjoyable. And when I did arrive, beautiful as Bhutan was, exhaustion and homesickness dominated. If we're not happy along the way, then we ought to question whether it's worth going at all. Don't be misled by stories. There are many stories about what a happy life entails, but they're not always backed up by reliable evidence. An example would be the "when I achieve this, I will be happy" story described above. Another popular story is that money buys happiness. I spent much of my research career examining this and traveling humbly for 18 months. What is clear is that having more money beyond the point of meeting basic needs is inconsequential when compared with having good quality relationships, looking after our mental and physical health, and living meaningfully in line with our beliefs and values. Yet sadly, these things often get sacrificed in pursuit of more. So we've run out of time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great day today, and I hope you're happy throughout the day and do something nice for someone else. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe.
And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.